Welcome to the School Sucks Project, a podcast, YouTube channel, and online community dedicated to personal growth and intellectual self-defense.
We promote learning alternatives, home education, critical thinking, peaceful parenting, organization and productivity, and better communication strategies.
Please remember to visit schoolsucksproject.com to get comprehensive show notes, relevant links,
or to just leave comments.
Follow us on Twitter at @SchoolSucksShow. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, username School Sucks Podcast, and get involved in our Facebook group. Just search for School Sucks Project.
Ooh! Oh, outstanding!
Come on in, you know you're welcome here.
Sad turn.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Now, I know a lot of the time I say, this is an optional show. Of course, they're all optional. This is a voluntary relationship, and I thank you for participating in it. But today, this is truly an optional show. I wanted to just make available, for those of you who are interested, for those of you who enjoyed this production last year, The Dawn of Freedom, the concluding hour of our marathon production at Porkfest. But first, I just want to tell you about some things that are coming up. I'm getting ready to sit down with a good friend of the show today. I know that's another thing I say often in jest, friend of the show. I'll say friend of the show and then somebody who's clearly not a friend of the show, like Skeletor. Skeletor is a friend of no one. But this is a friend of the show, and, you know, friends help each other. And I'm talking about, of course, Thaddeus Russell. Thad has expressed a lot of gratitude to me and to the School Sucks community for exposing a lot of new people to his work. He has provided us with some very entertaining content and some great intellectual challenges. So we're teaming up again today to discuss his new project, Renegade University. And we'll also do a little Q&A and back and forth on some current events. So if you happen to hear this show before, let's say, 1 p.m. Eastern time, throw up a question or two. Throw up. Put down a question or two in the School Sucks group, and I'll see if I can work it into our conversation. But for those of you who are interested, here is the chaotic final segment of the second episode of The Dawn of Freedom. And we have a real, as you can tell from the title, kind of all-star pileup here at the end. The people who are sitting down at the mics, it's me, Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist, Jeremy Hengeler from the Freedom Fiends, Daryl Becker, and Davi Barker. We're joined by the likes of Richard Grove, Lynn Ulbricht, Andrew from Puke and the Gang, and Ernest Hancock. In the show notes for this episode, I've included a couple other audio files. The first one is roughly the 15 minutes of discussion that preceded what you're going to hear in the podcast, where we're just talking about what media or what entertainment we like and don't like and why. And you'll hear me do like a what people decided was a mediocre Whoopi Goldberg impression, but I don't know. I think it's spot on. And then the other audio file in the show notes at schoolsucksproject.com is the first segment of Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Davi and I were on to recap and basically conclude the Dawn of Freedom event. So there are six parts to this marathon show in the School Sucks bonus content section, the AV Club, and it's people's participation in that that makes the serious work we do. It's going to be a very serious month on this show after I do today's recording with Thad, and I'm going to be announcing that in just a few days. But that work is made possible by people supporting the show on a monthly basis in exchange for a whole bunch of fun and exciting bonus content, often very divergent in subject matter. And one more thing to be on the lookout for as far as bonus content is concerned. Well, there's more. There's even more than this, but this is all I'm telling you about today. The Tragedy and Hope production, The Deep End. Earlier in June, Richard Grove, Daryl Becker, Kevin Cole, Rich's friend Dylan, and I sat down in Rich's studio in Connecticut to discuss the Orlando shooting. Now, you might be saying, the Orlando shooting? That's old news. There's been so many more terrorist attacks since then. But our conversation is useful beyond just the coverage of a current event. So when I do post that episode of The Deep End, I encourage you to engage with that as well. So get in there and help us out. Go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV to sign up. But here's a sample of this monstrous marathon show that we recorded at Porkfest this year. For those of you who might be somewhat interested in, you know, capturing the experience that is Porkfest. Oh, yeah, and a little context would be helpful. In the segment you're about to hear, the clock has just moved past 8 a.m. We've been recording since 12:30, just after midnight, and we are awaiting the arrival of Ernest Hancock, who is going to conclude the Dawn of Freedom with the beginning of his show, Declare Your Independence. We have just wrapped up an hour and a half long listener Q&A session where we answered questions about libertarianism, media, and entertainment. You're hearing just the last few minutes of that as this recording starts. And the sun is up. People are starting to move around the campground. People are starting to show up in the media room. Ross Ulbricht's mother, Lynn, I didn't even see that it was her. I've met Lynn before. And she's a wonderful woman, but she had come into the media room much earlier that morning to sit and work at a table. But my eyes were so strained from being awake so long and to see where she was. I'm basically staring out all of these picture windows that create this beautiful panoramic view of the White Mountains of New Hampshire. You can see some video of this. I posted a preview in the School Sucks group. Nice shot of the dawn in the mountains. But I couldn't see. All I could see was a silhouette. And then she emerged. You know, this is just the product of staying up for a really, really long time. You start to behave like a very old and creepy person. You know, you say things like, come closer. I can't see you from here. Oh, I know you. I would have loved a chance to sit down with Lynn and talk when I was well rested. But, you know, that wasn't the way this worked out. But I appreciate her participation and everyone's participation in the Dawn of Freedom. I'm also pretty satisfied with the download counts that I've seen so far as the six bonus installments are concerned. So thanks for listening. I know this is a different type of production, and I'm glad people were interested in it. Thanks, everybody.
In the, like, Marvel versus DC, like, what happens when heroes fight for stupid reasons battle, I definitely think Avengers won over Batman versus Superman.
Yes.
Batman versus Superman, when the best thing you can say about a movie is Ben Affleck.
Martha.
It's not good. Martha.
Ah. They both had, their moms had the same name.
Ben Affleck is not the best thing that you can say about that movie.
What's the best thing you can say about that movie?
That if you pause it from time to time, it makes good movie posters.
Ooh.
That's pretty much it. Visually stunning. The content sucks.
There is a cartoon you can check out called How It Should Have Ended, Hish.
I love that. I think you can, all the movies you just mentioned, Brett.
You can go, and you can look at
some of these. Yeah, they're animated.
Yeah, yeah. So like each of them, you know, including Guardians of the Galaxy, another good one. You know, all of them, they have their own hish, and actually, just about most popular movies, including Titanic, have a hish. You know,
How should Titanic have ended?
Oh, yeah, you can.
Say, oh, oh, yeah. they say, oh, That wasn't the Titanic. that was the Olympic. Those clever bastards, they switched the ships.
Yes,
for insurance purposes. Have you guys heard that story?
Yep, absolutely.
You've never heard the story. So I guess apparently, like in the around this time, especially in Great Britain, a common insurance scheme was if an ocean liner was damaged in a harbor, which there were collisions in harbors, especially with those really large ships, especially involving the British Royal Navy. So I'm not saying this happened every day, but it was frequent enough that it was a problem for which an insurance scheme was devised.
Okay.
So they would paint a ship to look like a damaged... They'd switch a new ship with a damaged ship in name, right?
Okay.
So what they say is that the Titanic was actually not a new ship. There was a new ship being built, but the Titanic was an existing ship called the Olympic that was damaged in the harbor due to a collision with the British Royal Navy. And then to collect insurance, this is White Star Lines. This is who was that, Daryl? It wasn't J.P. Morgan, was it?
I'm sorry, I'm not the right person for that. That's Rich Grove could give you the answers to that.
All right. So anyway, the White Star Lines switches the ships. So what sets sail is a damaged ship.
Right.
And whether there was an iceberg or not, we don't know. And this is a theory, and there's some pretty compelling evidence.
Oh, and certain people were on that ship that they just needed to get rid of. You know, but some people who are going to be voting on
the Fed Rule Reserve. Fed. Mm-hmm. John Jacob Astor, a few others. So the Olympic set sail, damaged, but disguised as the Titanic. And the ship in the harbor, the new ship, wearing the name Titanic, no, wearing the name Olympic, was actually the Titanic that they had just built.
So did the Olympic, was it really the unsinkable ship? Like... There's so much specific stuff about the Titanic and how it's built and how the hull is special.
They were sister
and all
ships.
That.
They were almost exactly the same.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the Excelsior in Star Trek.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's how the theory... Maybe somebody was watching Star Trek and they said, I got an idea for a conspiracy.
Well, it's not that unusual. You know, make one, build the second one with the same
standard.
Parts, you know?
You have all the tooling equipment.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, right now there's an exact... replica of the Dawn of Freedom 2 going on in the alternate media room.
Not in this dimension, though. It's not like we could go there. All right, so anything else on movies?
I was thinking, like, why didn't we mention books and like that?
Books,
I wanted to mention books.
Go for it.
What was it? It was things that I found generally disappointing. There's a book called Feed.
I read that.
That I can get on board with the zombie apocalypse, but a beneficent politician was beyond my ability to suspend disbelief. and it really seemed like that's what it was about. It was about following the politician that was going to save them all from the zombie apocalypse.
It was disturbing. That book, yeah.
Feed is a pun. Though, the main characters are bloggers. Post-zombie apocalypse, and their feed is where their blog, whatever, it's a pun. What is it? There's the Zombie Fallout series. There's like 7 of them, and they get increasingly terrible. In the beginning, it's just zombies, and then it sort of becomes like zombies plus vampires, and then suddenly, like, characters you've been with for 4 books turn out to be angels unexpectedly. It just gets weirder from there.
I would say many of the status themes in Isaac Asimov and Ben Bova books... For those who like classic sci-fi,
yeah,
they're so heavy on the collectivism that it gets drippy, you know, and it pushes those buttons. Mm. There are plenty of awesome series that really, really poke the liberty nicety kind of thing. Bartimaeus trilogy is one of them.
I recently reread Stranger in a Strange Land, and I'm going to go through. The Hitchhiker's Guide books again, and just as far as sci-fi, I'm thinking now.
Yeah,
we're about to enter hour 9.
Seriously,
that means we're paid time and a half, right?
So we've exceeded last year, by quite a substantial margin now, including the Freedom Fiends. So last year we were being kicked out of here at this time, but we started the Freedom Fiends an hour later than we started this year.
Right.
How many hosts did we have?
It was me, Davi, Derek, and MK the whole time, except for people getting up to go to the bathroom. And I don't think we stopped recording.
And I mean tonight, and last night, and this morning. How many hosts have we had here on the mic, sharing mic?
Us four, Derek,
Lou,
and Lou. And then a few people that I was expecting to drop in. Jeffrey Tucker never showed up.
Us five.
Oh, we are five. I'm a
Jeremy
person.
Counts.
You count.
No, I didn't count.
I am here, Brett.
Oh, there you go.
I forgot I was a person because I felt like I was floating.
Oh wait, he wasn't counting himself.
You forgot you existed, Brett.
I forgot I existed.
You're on your way to being in contact with everything.
Yeah, that's what 9 hours on the radio do to you.
I thought this was a movie I was watching, and I was like, "This movie's cool. I like this guy, guy number one. I like guy number two. I like guy number three and four. There's four of them." That's cute. That works well. The four of them, they work well together.
It's like Ninja Turtles.
Oh, wait, I'm here too. I'm the one talking.
Oh,
right
damn it. Now.
Now
it's like Power Rangers.
Oh, man. So, we're going to make it. Ernie should show up soon, and I think we can call it when he gets here.
And just as the Bitcoin update is, just it likes the dawn of freedom because it went up a good $11.
Oh, what is it now?
It says 646.
Oh, that's good.
And
oh,
the highest I saw it was 666. Furthering my theory that this Borkfest is either haunted or cursed.
So, is there any other? Did you talk to people about that and get some support for that theory?
About what?
The curse. Are you the only one who's perpetuating the stories of the curse?
Seriously.
Am I? I don't know. I'm always with me. When I'm not there, do people talk about it?
No, but is anyone saying to you, yeah, Davi, you know, I noticed some things too that were pretty concerning.
Well, you smelled urine.
Everywhere. Everywhere we went. Didn't anybody else?
Oh, I mentioned it as soon as I got to the knife place. Yeah. That was something.
I don't care. I'm perfectly happy amusing myself.
Yeah. I'm expecting off-gassing will happen, you know, the sun. Yeah.
I hope it's gone when I get back out there. You're in Agoura Valley.
You're in Oregon.
That's where we smelt it.
I like it. I like strange mythical creatures. I like cryptozoology. I think it's fun. Especially if these guys want to make this a kids event, you know? It's like what was that movie, The Village? Like like the idea of a snipe hunt or something. Yeah.
Do you know any other cryptids?
Do I
know? Like, I know the Chupacabra and Bigfoot, but then I remember there were some with some really great names, but well, there's a lot
a
of like,
Loch Ness monster.
Loch Ness, there's a monster.
Nessie.
There's a lot of Bigfoot variants, like AP2.
There are four kinds.
Oh, there's the green man.
They're hominids.
Hominid, yeah.
Yeah. And can name them.
Mothmen.
The North American version, Bigfoot, also AKA Sasquatch.
Oh, and then you get the Yeti.
The Yeti, that's the Himalayan variant. Then there's the Alma, which is another rather large one that was in that whole area of Russia, or that area.
Yeah, see, I'd be willing to bet that one's real, the Russian one.
And
why?
Yeah, they found like what do you call it? Like the work of basically Lloyd Pye. He just basically tried to like trace down and find like what do you call it? Like gravestones. I can't believe it was hard to find. Like, where do you put those dead bodies? You know, graveyards and things like that. These were in China, the Alma, like they were called something else, of course, and they were used as killed for medicine. They were considered like, hey, that's some good. They killed every damn thing for medicine. They loved making medicine out of every critter possible. Mm-hmm. In Russia, they like to make them as beasts of burden, move heavy stuff and that kind of thing. And they also had sexy times allegedly with them. These are the cryptozoology stories.
The jackalope is a and cryptid.
But the last hominid is the Zowie in Australia.
The Zowie.
You heard of the Zowie too?
The Zowie is a little one, right?
Smaller, yeah. Yeah, because it's got to fit
being
on Australia.
A real creep with long fingers, long hairy fingers.
I'm not really like an expert on the hominid cryptozoology, but that's a weird subject. And yeah, people who are actually listening to this, yeah, go and look up Lloyd Pye. Go look up and add any of those terms to it. Learn something about something. Or pretend you're doing so. Use up time. And yes, cost benefit analysis.
Even if they're not real, it's interesting because that particular formulation of an imaginary creature came into existence for some reason.
Well, not so imaginary. You know, people do DNA analysis and we seemingly have 46 chromosomes. That seems to be verified.
Right.
Humans? Mm-hmm. Okay. And not so imaginary, all the other primates, the non-crypto ones, have 48.
Okay.
So, also not so imaginary, there have been actual comparisons of the chromosome number 2 and 3 in the other primates and chromosome number 2 in humans. And it does look, at least in one picture that I saw, of that they were put together. That humans were one removed. No, two removed. Two to turn into one kind of thing.
Wow.
So it's it's pretty much one of those. That stuff in Lloyd Pye's book, you know, and I did not confirm all of his stuff.
Wolves have 46 chromosomes. Maybe all the Sasquatch stuff is werewolves.
But that's just that's exactly why you can't allegedly reproduce with any of the apes. Not enough chromosomes. We don't have enough.
Robbed.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, musculature way underbuilt. The musculature and bone structure compared to all the other ones. That's why any of those ones could take us on.
We're way underbuilt, you mean?
Yes.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
Donna. Wow.
Oh, well, we're in hour 8 or 9. Okay. The Dawn of Freedom. We will stop as soon as we see Ernie. Thank you.
You don't want to have Ernie on the show?
Yeah, for a minute. And then it ends with his voice, and then we leave.
Okay.
I just don't feel like I can sit and talk anymore, but I'm not sure if I can go to bed or not. All right, let's go around the table. Nick, how long have you been up?
Oh, I've been up since 9 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, not even 24 hours.
Not yet. 23.
All right. Jeremy?
I think I actually got up at 8:30 yesterday, but that was only on 2 hours of sleep because this is not the first sunrise I've seen this week. I've actually seen, I think, everyone with maybe the, oh no, yeah, no, the first, I've been here since Saturday night and I've seen every sunrise.
And for a brief moment while everyone slept, we ran this festival.
This is absolutely true.
We took over, we cooed and we took over. Is that the way that verb works? There was a coup d'etat, and we took over the ranger station.
Yes. And granted, they gave us the access, so what were we supposed to do?
We ate their pizza and rummaged through their stuff.
Well, we made them more coffee, didn't we? We left them fresh coffee.
We did make coffee.
We were nice about it.
That is nice. And it's nice to run a festival, even if it's just for a few moments.
I woke up what's called yesterday 5:45.
Oh, goddamn.
So, wow. Thus, you know, it's been a long time.
So you're over 24 hours.
I'm over 24 hours of awakeness, yeah. Is that really... oh, man, Rich!
Richard
Damn!
Grove.
Morning.
Hey, Dylan.
Hey, Rich. I came to see the people stay up all night.
Yeah.
Damn!
So we have... we made it.
I know.
We're here, and we've done this since midnight, pretty much.
And now you're just waiting for relief?
We're waiting for. I just Donna came in and I said we'll leave as soon as we see Ernie, but that's actually not true. Ernie needs to be on the show.
Yeah, Ernie actually needs to be here physically. I saw her walk in. We were over at the motel. It's up there. How you been?
Hey, man.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
So, how was your time yesterday? You didn't make it last night. Did you go to bed early?
I got 1 hour of sleep the night before I had to drive here. So by 9 o'clock last night, I was I should go to bed probably.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
unlike really you, important. Who gets here at 11:50 to the media center, and then you're like, I'm going to stay up all night.
Right. But with all the sleep you've had, your shoes probably don't feel like they're filled with ants like my shoes do.
No. Are they filled with ants?
No, they're not.
Is
no,
that a
I
prank
checked.
That's going on at this table? Am I the last to find out?
I checked as soon as I felt the feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Because it is ant and tick season.
Yeah. Are you worried about the ants?
No, it just felt, my feet felt like they were like an ant colony.
Do you believe that ants believe in freedom? Because they act kind of autonomously, but yet together. How's that work?
I don't know. I see a lot of self-sacrifice in the ant community.
Are you an ex-ant farmer? Mm. Might they have like an agenda against you? Could they have smelled you coming up to the campsite and be like, this guy was here last year. He stomped a bunch of our houses.
This is what happens when someone comes in who's had a lot of sleep.
I know. And he's like, just totally fucking with us.
Boom, I was trying to hold it down a little
bit. It's like, maybe could you just answer us like,
what's your name?
You know, the alleged, like, when they switched ships with the Titanic and that kind of thing. And, and where was all the money's going to profit on that?
No, I've never met her.
Was a question we had, and I knew you'd have.
Technically, you would start with the identification of the three objects that were manufactured by the White Star Line, the Olympic, the Britannic, and the Titanic.
Who ran? Was it J.P. Morgan?
He was one of the owners of the White Star Line.
Okay, that was the name.
And he was supposed to be on it. I think he was on it for the first leg of the ship, and the trip, and then split. So they used J.P. Morgan on the Titanic to get a bunch of other rich people on there, and then he splits.
How do you make that happen? Okay, how does he split? Okay, he has to leave the boat in a life raft, right?
No, because there's they port, so there was
like
two stops in Europe or Britain in the island someplace, and then it goes to America from Ireland.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't on it, but I have read a little bit about it. And one of the interesting things was, aside from the Astors getting killed, so you do have some prominent wealthy families who were anti-Federal Reserve, and they ended up dying. But William T. Stead, who was the executor for Cecil Rhodes' last will and testament, died on the ship. And you say, well, why is somebody of the secret elite dying on that trip? Shouldn't they have told him? Maybe he disagreed with some of their aims. And that's come to light in the past couple months where I've found some evidence through some other researchers. And they're like, yeah, they had some serious disagreements about how to run the empire. So, but to go back to your question, the Titanic, one of those ships was
the Olympic
damaged in New York. But they couldn't file the insurance on it.
Wait, it wasn't damaged in the harbor by the British Royal Navy?
If you think that's the fact, we could...
I think it was...
I thought it was New York Harbor. But the point was, there was an insurance claim that they couldn't file. So they're like, okay, we'll save that for later. And then when they had another chance, they switched the ships. So the difference between the ships is the number of portholes on the front of the ship. And from the underwater photos taken by James Cameron and all those other dudes, it looks like the number of portholes on the ship matches a ship of a different identification than Titanic. Were you waiting all night to ask me that question?
No, I talked about it a little bit, but you filled in some of the details. And that wasn't all night. We were just talking about that. I don't know. It was
anyone's interested.
Within the last hour.
Within the last hour.
Yeah. I didn't show it to you last week, but the book that I recommend to people is from 1898. It's written by Morgan Robertson. It's called Futility or The Wreck of the Titan. And it's about the world's biggest ship, the Titan, that is like the Titanic 20 years earlier. And in the book, it sinks because it hit an iceberg. So if you're running an insurance fraud in 1912 and you just read that book, you're like, hey, these guys got a good idea. And they got it done.
And they said, we'll call it predictive programming.
They just call it making money.
It's not that Hollywood is prepping the American public by showing us the tyranny we haven't seen yet, so we're ready for it. It's that the government is getting its ideas for tyranny from Hollywood.
Well, that's been discussed.
It's just as plausible, probably more. Occam's razor would go that direction.
Well, when they caught, you know what's interesting? This is kind of a different topic, and I'm sorry if it's too much of a different topic, but when they caught some guy who they thought was a member of Al-Qaeda, and they started questioning him about the aspirations of the organization, he started telling them things that were plots of Hollywood movies that he had seen to kind of make them appear more grandiose in scope and aspiration than they actually were. So I don't know what movie it was, Jaws, something, you know. I'm sorry, I'm really tired. But he was using Hollywood stories. So we talked about this not too long ago on my show with the idea of predictive programming. In which order does it actually happen in? It's really hard for me to understand the coordination that
You might need more sleep. That's all.
All right. Well, no, but I mean, even on a full night of sleep, and I've had a nice
even
meal,
on your best days.
Even on my best days. Okay. The coordination that would be involved in inserting these messages into certain Hollywood movies or even TV shows, like predictive programming about 9/11.
You will use flip phones.
Can we use
Star
a real
Trek.
Example, like The Lone Gunman in March of 2001?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty extreme, but a lot of the other ones, yeah, I mean, go with that.
Let's pick a non-extreme example then, where they predictively program us.
How about Star Trek flip phones in the 60s?
Yeah, how about that tricorder?
That tricorder.
But I mean, the Simpsons one, I mean, that's the one that's always cited with 9/11 on the thing that Bart...
They got new ones out about Back to the Future. Yeah. I mean, if you just search like 9/11 Simpsons.
Oh, the Pines.
The Twin Pines being Twin the. Pines. Yeah, or, I saw that.
Oh,
one.
It's
yeah.
deeper than that. It's
oh, no, I've, yeah, I saw the, yeah. the.
They got the World Trade Center's upside down and yep. one on the front. There's a whole bunch of stuff. And when I was meeting with an author a couple weeks ago, and he brought up this this clip of Colin Quinn on Saturday Night Live that I'd never seen.
Oh, we did all this on
did
my
all,
show.
On a Conspirathon.
Yeah.
I'm still catching up.
Yeah.
I'm still catching up. So.
Nothing in there is going to blow your mind.
I'm like a month behind.
That's fine, man.
Parenting takes more time than I thought, maybe.
Yeah. But that was we used that clip of Colin Quinn, and you can explain it, but we used that to launch into the predictive program.
I don't have an explanation. I'm like, that's weird fucking shit, dude.
It is really weird shit. I mean, do you remember the details?
Does someone need to beat me when I do that? What are the rules here?
He's doing a weekend update. And he goes through. Do you remember what the stories were that he ran through?
Because it had to do with Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, and there was something else. And it was prior to
a hijacked aircraft.
Yeah,
there you go.
I got predictive programming for you. Go and read Dune. Like the movie's great too, and you know a lot of the adaptations. And I really wish the Alejandro Jodorowsky movie had been done. But if you read the book. It gets spooky how predictive it is. And it was published in 1975. And it's like Saddam is the leader of Arrakis. And they're fighting over the spice. And the Fremen are screaming Allahu Akbar. Literally, that's what they call it in their weird desert religion. like it's the Iraq War. Dune is about the Iraq War.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and the guy was living in Oregon writing all that.
Yeah.
Another predictive programming thing that I noted in the past couple weeks, I saw this movie, it's from 98, called Deterrence, and it's got Timothy Hutton and Kevin Pollak, and Kevin Pollak's the president, and he's running for re-election. So he was vice president, became president because some shit happened in the government, and on TV, they're showing he's running against Trump. So this is supposed to be like the 2008 election predicted from 10 years before, and there's Trump competing for president, and I was like, well, this is an interesting time to see that movie for the first time.
Demolition Man.
All kinds of crazy stuff in Demolition Man that's predictive. I like the one that Arnold Schwarzenegger ends up president. I think he's our kombucha from Idiocracy or whatever. I think it'll be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Kombucha. That's a much healthier take on the name.
Oh, thanks so much.
Man, you're special. You get a coffee?
So let me introduce you. Lynn, let me introduce you. This is Lynn Ulbricht.
Oh, wow. Hey, Lynn.
Mother of Ross Ulbricht.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you take the mic?
I'm the only one. I guess I'm the only one who's had sleep here.
Rich has.
No.
Rich yeah. So you're going. You're the only one, Davi, who didn't answer the question. How many hours have you been up?
Oh, I'm cheating. I'm acclimating to a 36-hour day.
Oh, okay. So Davi says he's acclimating to a 36-hour day.
And I'm on my Mars time. I'm at the 25 hours. You know.
See, I prefer Venus time. I like my days longer than my years. Yes.
Derek told me.
So we are in our ninth hour now of recording. So
who's the editor?
What? Why are people pointing to me?
No. Just like editing.
So I wish we were sharper now that you have the microphone.
Well, I've been enjoying listening to you while I work over there. Saying some good stuff.
Oh, great.
You want to plug the art?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm here to speak on behalf of my son Ross and his appeal, and we're launching we had done a project based on his artwork that it's a drawing he did in prison called The Trial I Saw. Is viewing the trial through his own mask, but everybody else has a mask on too. You can see it in our store because we're selling posters on freeross.org, and then we also have posters for sale here, and also people are bidding until tomorrow on the original. But in any case, we're going to launch a whole new one, a new drawing Ross did, totally different, called Two-Faced Tango. It's pretty interesting. And so we're going to do that. And there's lots of other things. But anyway, it's sort of been a fun game. You buy it's covered up, and then you buy a square for a dollar, and over time it reveals the picture. Anyway, that's that.
Well, Lynn got to see that picture. I'm here.
Yeah,
hi. I got to see that picture just 1 week ago when I was at Rich's place.
Oh, neat.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I was like, oh, you know, it's like, it's hard because it's like, we, you know, for me, I've been following you and your work for some time, and like,
oh,
a lot,
thanks,
of these guys, it's like I'm now meeting you guys for the first time. Yeah. You know, I live on the Big Island of Hawaii,
oh,
so
nice.
That's just like, but the launching place where I get to watch all this going on generally,
wow,
and then
mm-hmm,
and this rare occasions I get to join in. So,
well, I'm speaking today at 4:00. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's what I'm doing over there in the corner, is wrestling this reply of the government to Ross's appeal. 184 pages of government speak. It's really pretty grim. Anyway, and trying to address that in the talk, you know, and just explain where it's at. So 4:00 today, if you're awake. You guys might be asleep. I don't know. It's really defending not only our due process, Ross's due process rights, but really all of our, I mean, right to a fair trial, which, you know, it's worth defending, even if it's often not the case, you know.
Where is it?
It's about the talk?
Yeah,
it's at the Pavilion.
Excellent.
And we'll have T-shirts and posters and things to raise money. We're always having to raise money because appealing and going to trial is very, very expensive. So anyway.
Well, I definitely appreciate the work you've done with my friend Rich here.
Rich is great.
Yeah, it's been excellent. He's fantastic.
And, I agree. He is
you guys,
fantastic.
The conversations that I heard, or I guess it was would you call that a deep end?
Deep end.
Yeah, it was really wonderful.
Was that the last one?
Pass that mic.
Oh, sorry.
The one I shot with you recently was open to the public, but that first conversation where it was right before Ross's appeal and you didn't want to talk about it, and I said, well, let me just fill you in on the people who are putting your son in the cage. Here's the history, and now maybe we can figure out a solution.
Yeah. I've learned a lot from Rich, and he's been a great supporter and in lots of ways, and a real friend. He and his, and Lisa, too. He's so great, and you know, I consider them good friends. And no, it's been really. I recommend his, you know, podcasts and interviews. It's really deep. You know, so much of the media is so shallow, and doesn't get it at all, as you guys, I'm sure, know. And Rich is someone who, I don't know, you've opened my mind and eyes to a lot of things, and and has also supported Ross, you know, with books and things like that, and that he's also enjoyed a lot. So,
excellent.
TragedyandHope.com.
Thank you both for showing up.
Thanks.
At the dawn of freedom.
Yeah,
I'm glad we got you on the record.
Yeah. All right, thanks. Good to meet you guys. You
too.
Thank you, Lynn.
Good luck with your PowerPoint.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, have you met one of my dearest friends,
Andrew,
and one of my dearest friends, Rich? About what?
I did not have a brown bracelet.
What's a brown bracelet?
The VIP section.
Oh, did you have one?
I don't have one either. That's why I was teasing. You can't be here. It's for very important
people. Wherever. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I sound like a jerk, but I feel like you do some things, you should get to be a VIP. That's how it used to be. Back in the, like, 4 years ago, it was. The first year you came. Yeah. First year Rich came, we were upgraded. And that was nice. Well, Andrew, how's it going? Pass the mic to Andrew.
Yeah, here you go.
Andrew's show is...
Hey, guys, I'm sure you're full of energy. You look like awesome. You look awesome, all of you.
Do we look bad?
No. You look a little sleepy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Brett, I think you have the most energy of everyone on mic.
Oh, yeah?
As always.
Well, it comes and goes in waves. Nuh-uh. We put on deodorant and bug spray.
You're smelling the beef squash.
So is this a school sucks thing?
Yeah, it was. It's the dawn of freedom. It's kind of like a School Sucks Freedom Fiends joint production. School Sucks Freedom Fiends, declare your independence, because that's the end of it. It ends with Ernie.
With littletragedyandhope.com.
So, Brett,
yeah,
I have a complaint.
Okay.
All the times that you've been on our show and dominated our show and forced us to record more and more and more. You're on for 9 hours and you don't invite us on?
I did. I sent you a...
You just said, come on by. You didn't say, come on.
You would have... You would have come on if you had.
I didn't know that.
Nobody that I invited showed up.
Well, because you did a show in the middle of the night.
But this is a festival. You know, it goes beyond midnight. Ernie, do you want us to
show
leave?
In the middle of the night is literally the concept of the show.
Well, I'm going to do you a solid today and come on your show, Puke in the Gang. I don't know how long I get to be on for, but I'd love to be on for a little while. That would be terrific. What? No, well, yeah. I mean,
I'm down. You got a schedule?
I already know. Donna, who's first hour? I have a hike to go on.
All right. So you'll be back. I'm gonna go to bed. So I'll come find you around.
I'm down to be on with James Babb.
Yeah, 142.
James Babb. All right. Awesome. Thanks, Andrew. I'll see you then.
You guys left.
Well, let's not have this be anticlimactic. Ernie, do something.
I'm getting ready. The show's starting. I just want to get ready so I can sit down and chat with you guys and we can chill. But work before. What do you call it? Play.
Work before work.
We work after 9 hours. It sounds like work to me, man.
Fun work before the fun work.
For the regular participants, what happened to Nick Hazelton? Did he leave?
He's in the bathroom, I think.
Oh, he's in the bathroom. Closing thoughts, Jeremy.
Well, I'm just happy to be here. I'm glad we survived, and I really appreciate you letting me come on tonight, Brett.
Yeah, nice to have you on. It was nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too,
Daryl.
Such a royal pleasure to work with all you fine guys. It's really, really brilliant. It's really cool to like have like these last minute, like, wow, well, Rich, you know, just go, oh my God, that's Ernest Hancock, you know.
That's like, what I
like. Lynn Ulbricht, like it was like an all star like pile up. Everyone get on the stage right before we close, you know.
Yeah, and that Ernest Hancock thing never gets old. Every time he walks in a room, I say, oh my God, that's Ernest Hancock.
Oh my God.
Still, I've known him for years. Davi.
A shout out to MK Lords and, you know, everyone else I wish was here. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it?
As far as what? Final words?
Final words. That's it. That's fine. It doesn't have to be anything.
Welcome to the festival, Brett.
Welcome to the festival. I'm glad to be here.
You're just getting started. I'm kind of in my groove, so.
And Nick Hazelton.
Yeah, it was an honor and pleasure to be on. I'm glad I got to be here.
Well, I had a wonderful time. This is the longest Dawn of Freedom ever. Let's talk about what we didn't get right this year and we need to improve for next year. We didn't use the green screen to make a movie, like we said. We did not do a DVD commentary. We did not do three musical numbers.
We didn't do Gary Shandling's song.
I barely used any of my soundboard.
So we didn't do anything.
No, I didn't. No, I did Whoopi Goldberg. People don't like impressions. They think they're tacky. I don't know. I did.
Those are your imaginary critics in your mind.
I did Whoopi Goldberg.
I didn't get. Dobby I just. I wasn't. I wasn't reading Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I'm Whoopi Goldberg. I feel like I'm Whoopi Goldberg. See, he just stares at me.
It doesn't
like
sound
I'm
like
ass.
Whoopi Goldberg to me
no,
at all.
I'm sure, Davi. I am Whoopi Goldberg.
It's more it's putting someone else on the tip of my tongue. I can't figure out who it is.
I'm gonna stop.
It's Red Fox.
Fox?
Yeah.
And we talked about Sean Connery, but I didn't do that because I feel like that's very hack. I feel like anybody can do a Sean Connery. I'm too rusty.
I don't think I do impressions.
All right, that's enough. We don't need to grandstand here at the end with impressions. This is a wonderful pleasure. I don't want to ruin it. Derek is in the back of the room. Thank you so much for your participation, too, Derek.
Oh.
Next year.
Music. Everyone should get the album That Was the Year That Was by Tom Lehrer.
Tune into the Dawn of Freedom, Episode 3, at Porkfest 14 in 2017.
I'm here, and I have questions.
For who?
I have
you.
Answers.
Okay,
we should see if they match.
While I was sleeping, what happened? Yeah, I knew you guys were going to come up here and do whatever, but just sum it up for me.
We went on a puke wedgie hunt.
A what?
A puke wedgie hunt. We followed the scent of urine until we found it, but it wasn't a puke wedgie. It was the urinal
like
downstairs, the porta potty. So we didn't find the pork wedgie.
Did anybody come up, or did you just disturb all the guys sleeping on the couch?
People kind of wandering in and out periodically. There was enough going on.
We took 9 hours to figure out perception management. You know?
For a while, we took the show on the road, and we actually went out and did a video walkthrough.
Which, if you do that in high mode and fast forward, that'd make some good shaky cam if you put some spooky sounds behind it or something.
Oh, you know what we didn't
do? You should plan that for next year, have some more features of it. I mean, after, 8 hours, you got to be creative. Each hour be themed to something. That'd be cool.
We got some great. The fog this morning was out of control. It was like white out. These windows were solid white.
Wow. It was out of control. We said, we didn't do enough sound effects.
We didn't do enough sound effects. I want the theme song to Mousetrap. I want to be able to play it all the time. I want a button on my shoulder that plays the theme song to Mousetrap.
Is this it?
No.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Pretty loud.
What do you mean, Mousetrap? You mean the game?
It pushed the ball right down the tub and into the man who jumps in the pan. You know this song? I want that song. I want it to be playing very often, and I want people to have it memorized. But as far as Tom Lehrer is concerned, very libertarian themed. He's the Weird Al of like the 30s and maybe the 40s or 50s. I don't know when he was alive, but he's funny as hell. And a lot of it's really good liberty stuff. One of them is Who's Next, which is about who gets a nuclear weapon. So it must have been the 60s. So, I don't know. I'm not good at time. Another one is Smut. Smut is a great song. It's a political anthem for the First Amendment. What?
I'm sitting here on the computer. I'm going to try and pull up Mousetrap.
I can't. They rebooted it. There's a different song now, and I haven't been able to find the old one.
But are we ready to wrap this up?
I'm ready when you are. I'm just going to roll right into Ernie's show. So I'm going to stay right here.
You go for that.
Who else?
Well, you know, you could keep it. You're recording, right?
Yeah.
Well, you just keep it recording at least until after we start the other show, so you don't have any missed time.
Oh, okay. So why don't we wrap the Dawn of Freedom? This has been the Dawn of Freedom. Thank you for listening, and good morning.
Nice lady on. That was good.
Good morning. Take a vacation.